Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yar, you'll never find it over, they said. You just can't seem to find anything anymore. I'm not going to show you, dig it up, be true. I'm going to find the thing that what I'm looking for. Oh, be still, me eyes. Is that... I've got me treasure. I found a Rolling in the Gate podcast, Yar.
Hello, I'm Ken Brown, and you are now entering Riven, the Shattered Continent. Co-conspirators, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Marcos Pissarro. I'm an Alacocra monk from the Sanctuary of Old Caído, and I am portrayed by Nick Simpson.
And I am Trevor Ironjaw, forged cleric and renowned pottery maker, portrayed by Brad Konauer.
Thanks, team. And thank you for joining us. Pull up a chair and join our table for Rolling in the Geek. Last time on Rolling in the Geek. Our heroes, plus Phil, have a conversation with Ansigar, whom invites them to meet with himself and Mayor Elian Tinleaf to congratulate them on their good work the night before. Trevor, having exhausted himself, passes out and gets dragged back to the inn by Harkos and Phil. Harkos explores the inn a little bit and gets himself some taquitos, and holes up in his room. After getting some rest and attempting to commune with higher powers, Trevor gets a relaxing bath and meets a new friend. Afterwards, the two heroes strike out to town to see it completely cleaned after the events from the night before. Trevor meets with Faden Luckbeard and unlocks some power, and Harkos finds a baby basket with little Alacocra booties inside with a note attached saying merely sorry. So that is where we pick back up with Trevor at the blacksmith Faden.
First of all, going in the bathhouse again.
Second of all, you're from Harkos, that's a big hootie hoo and a giant fuck you on those booties.
I'm gonna keep the characters invested in what's happening to them.
I'm not invested in that bathhouse.
Oh, you are.
I'm very invested in Trevor being invested in that bathhouse.
No,
so
no. Harkos should go down there.
That's a shitty thing for you, Brad, because that's 2-1 and you lose, so...
Because your new friend is definitely going to be watching for you. You didn't even get a name. That's really kind of fucking rude.
Yeah, that's super rude.
Trevor's a dick.
Nope.
Okay. Trevor, you were at the blacksmith forge with Faden. You guys have some conversation. You unlocked that power, from your cleric skill set to make Ardenim magical and kind of create those runes on it. And afterwards, the two of you kind of chit-chat for a while, and then he'll tell you, I actually do need to be getting back to work. I hope you don't mind if I If I start going again, if you don't have to leave, but you can't stay here. That doesn't make any sense. You see him kind of like think about it for a second, like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And anyway, and so he goes and he starts working on the piece that he set aside when the two of you walked in.
Maybe I'm also strange, but can I just watch?
No, if you want to watch, you are more than welcome. I am more than happy to have you here. It's that many people in town that need to have proper arms and armor. So, I want to make sure that they have the finest that I can make.
But perhaps I can assist then.
If you don't mind, I haven't had an assistant for a long time. So he kind of points you to, you know, the tools and that kind of stuff that you can kind of take over for him on that, and then he goes and starts getting other stuff prepped. And I'd say over, you know, like next 45 minutes or so, you guys kind of work out, you pump some iron, hammer some iron. I'm funny. And you guys create together, you create a couple of long swords and a couple of daggers, and You level up your blacksmithing skill.
All right.
Woo! Because we're playing by Skyrim rules, apparently. So, you create a couple of pieces, and they look, they look pretty nice. They're not shoddy. They're very well made. Looks like that they'll serve whoever takes them up pretty well.
Of course they're very well made.
Well, I mean, you've only ever made one weapon.
And it was glorious! Yeah.
And then your house burnt down.
Not my fault.
Kind of was.
Sort of my fault.
Definitely your fault.
Acceptance is the first step. But it's getting to be a little while since you've seen Harkos. I don't know if that's starting to weigh on you at all, or if you're caught up in the moment. But he has more work if you're wanting to do more work.
I'll thank him for allowing me to assist and head out, I suppose. Go look for Harkos.
Best of luck to you. If you ever need repairs or anything, feel free to come by the shop. I'll be more than happy to take care of them. And if you have any free time, I'd certainly appreciate more help.
Oh, very much appreciated. Very much.
Okay, so you head out, and we'll skip back over to Harkos to see what he's doing in the meantime. So, Harkos, you find the basket, you find the little Alacoker booties inside there, and what do you do from here?
That's a good question. Nick, what do you think Harkos does for me? No, he's got nothing. He's not giving me anything, guys. I'm sorry. I don't fucking know. This is a brick. You just smacked me with a brick. And then left me with the bruise for a week, and then you came back and you're like, do you need ice? Good, because there's none.
A little bitter.
I'm not bitter. This is just, it's like, I don't know how I'm supposed to. No. Honestly, Harkos would probably, like, exactly what I'm doing, except internally, is what Harkos would be doing. Like, he wouldn't know how to perceive this information. Like, there'd be part of him that's in, like, disbelief of, like, this has got to be, like, somebody else. Like, it just so happens that it looks like they fit owl feet. It just so happens that it's written in Orin. And, like, it just so happens that I found them right now in a basket, just like the one that I also was. It's a lot of convenience. But then the other half of him is like, the fuck? And how and why, also who, what, where, when, also why, again a second time.
Well, from you observing your surroundings, there's really not, I mean, there's people that are kind of walking around, but they're nowhere really, like, in the immediate area of the basket. There's nobody that's, like, staring at you or kind of, you know, that you can see at least. There's nobody really paying attention, so, I mean, that's, the who isn't really helpful.
Who? And you said this was like kind of is this just like on the street, or it was kind of like at a corner in an alleyway? Like, I don't remember
Exactly. It was kind of at the front of a house. It was just kind of chilling there.
Is there an alley nearby?
Yeah. There's a small alley going between the houses. There's a lot of these between most of the, especially the, you know, like the residential homes, which is kind of a, same thing either way. But there's little alleys, almost little like yards, I guess, that would be between most of the houses, or there's pathways that kind of lead around. Looks like most of the land here is pretty functional. So, you know, maybe some of the nicer houses have a little bit of green grass or a tree, but for the most part, it's cobblestone or, like a pathway made for moving iron through town or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's nothing too, it's pretty functional.
So what I was thinking is that, I was thinking that he would kind of just duck into, like, just the very start of the alley. Like, probably still super noticeable from the street. But I'm trying to decide if he would knock on the door that this basket was in front. Like, I think ultimately no. There's part of him that probably wants to, but everyone here thinks he's a fucking freak and screams and runs away.
Not everyone.
And why would, if the people inside knew anything about the basket, why would it just be left out in front of their building? So odds are it was left here either for them or for me, and I am now thieving and or receiving package, and do not want to scare the nice people inside of the building. So Harkos would just duck into an alley and then bird fetal position on the ground with his wings covering him and the basket and try to maintain his panic attack in a unnoticeable manner and fail excessively at doing so. So like it would from the very noticeable entrance to that alley, you just hear, oh, it's okay. Everything, it's not supposed to be scary. This place isn't weird. This is fine. It's okay if you don't know what's happening. No one's supposed to know all the time.
Okay, so a little girl comes up to you.
Excuse me, sir.
Are
you okay?
His head's just going to poke out the top of his wings.
Yes, no, I'm totally fine. I just, sometimes I need to breathe heavy in an alley. That's all. It's a normal thing that normal owl people do.
Well, I heard the noises that you were making. I was a little concerned. My mommy makes those noises sometimes after daddy was lost in the mine.
My brain went a different direction.
So did mine.
You were awful people.
I was like, my mommy does that sometimes people. After daddy goes to bed, and then they're very loud for many hours, and I can't sleep, but I know what the sounds mean. Are you okay?
I don't know why they make macaroni and cheese, and then mommy cries.
My dad's a mean man. My mother's always calling out for God, please. Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
All of the night. Yes, kind of like that.
You know what? The little girl just punches you in the face.
I don't know. I don't know how Harkos would respond to that either. What the fuck? There's some little girl telling you, like, my dad got lost in the mines. I don't need this fucking info right now, lady. Fuck. Okay, so that would probably be a little sobering for Harkos in the point that he feels like he needs to somehow be brave for this child. And so he would compose himself a little bit and be like, No, I. Now I'm in the little girl voice. This is great. That's way too fucking high. I am fine. I received some news, and I don't think I was quite ready for it, but you, I'm sorry that you lost your father, and I hope that your mother finds a way to get better, but I do thank you for checking on me, but I do think, and then he'll stand up and ruffle his wings back to normal with the basket, like, over his left arm and stuff, and be like, I do think I am better, and I can't help but think that
You're a major part of that reason, so thank you, little miss.
She gets a big old smile on her face, and she reaches into her pocket, and she has a little red ball, and she holds it up, and...
Do you want to play?
With me, you're not afraid of what I am?
She pulls the ball back a little bit.
Should I be afraid of you?
Well, no, I just, when I came to town the other day, there were men that called me feral and ran off, and I've not been treated like that before, and I just, not everyone here has been as kind as you, I suppose.
Mommy says that's a bad word to say.
You guys know that the feral, people being called the feral, is like the word for like the half breeds. So like half orcs, and like dragonborn and that kind of stuff. That it's like a derogatory term used for descendants of like monstrous type races. That it would be that kind of derogatory term for, and you know, using it on an Arakocra isn't necessarily like in line with the thought, but it's, you know, still like, you know, kind of meant as like a, you know, almost like fear mongering in its own way.
I get you.
I say you guys, and Trevor's not there, but he knows it too.
I can just feel it.
Yep.
So, Harkos, after hearing that, would be like, well, I do appreciate the teachings that your mother is instilling within you, and you, I would be more than happy to play with you.
Aww. Okay, so...
Eat a dick, Trevor. Spend... Harkos just made a friend. And mine's not naked!
Oh, God. Yeah, it'd be another... You get some experience moment for that.
Nice.
So you spend a little bit of time playing with this little girl. You know, you're running around and you play catch with the ball a little bit. And then
death
play
grip on the basket,
and,
by the way, just so we're clear.
I would say at some point you probably like fly up to avoid a tag, and she gets really upset because that's cheating.
Not if you got wings, it ain't. Gotta learn you early, girl.
After a little bit of time, you hear call,
Cassie, come home.
And she peeks up and she's,
oh, mummy's calling me. I must be off.
Well, here's your ball back, Cassie, and I do hope that I meet more people like you, and I shan't be forgetting you anytime soon.
No, you keep the ball. I like you.
And then she just skips off.
That ball is like, it goes like owl booties, and then that ball is like fucking licking the owl booties butthole in level of importance.
Wow.
I don't know why we're going for butt licking.
I needed you to know how close they were. Like, they're not actually licking butts, but, like, if they wanted to, they totally could. Like, it's a tongue's length away.
So the option is there to toss some stuff.
Yeah, it's just the little red ball doesn't know if the owl booties have been bleaching or not, so, like, they're not all for it, and they prefer consent over, like, just jumping in, as all people should. You know,
I like that at this point we've been talking about butthole licking for like 2 minutes, and I'm pretty sure that at some point we're gonna get rated as, you know, as being a naughty podcast.
What did you think this was when you signed up for it?
I thought your NSF,
I don't know,
your NSFW tag was for swearing and other language, not voice porn.
I don't know if you guys have listened to the finished edits I've made, but I've only kept in our pornographic comments, And all the dead air I've just filled with me going, porn, porn, porn. This is about porn, porn, porn.
Man, I knew I should have listened to those episodes better.
That's what you guys get for having real jobs. You can't hear my air quotes, but they're there.
You did a really good job at keeping them voiced. And actually, big announcement, tune in next week for the Rolling in the Porn podcast.
oh, God, it sounds sticky.
It's just going to be an hour of funny noises and terrible music.
Those are classics, don't you...
Ken and I got the music on lock. Don't you fucking worry about it.
Damn Skippy. Okay, so the little girl skips off and you see her go into one of the houses nearby the inn.
Okay. How much time has passed?
Probably, about the same time that Trevor was, half hour, 45 minutes all told between you finding the booties and the little girl getting called away.
So honestly, being as I was intervened with going to check with Yorick, I'd probably double back on myself and see if Trevor's still gabbing with dude or not, because... That makes it... We'd be getting roughly close-ish to brunch time. To the point where I wouldn't want to be too terribly separated from Trevor. And
yeah, I'd say you've got like an hour to kill still before it's that time. But I think that you were en route to the barracks. Yeah, to talk to Yorick.
Yeah, because I was...
You said Yorick, but, you know...
I did. I'm sorry. I thought we were in Windhelm. I thought I was going to go talk to the Jarl Bolgruf of Whitebrunn. That's not in Windhelm at all.
Blasphemy! Okay, so you head back over towards the blacksmith, and probably about the same time as when Trevor says his goodbyes and walks out.
Hello!
Hi!
I was just coming to find you.
Same.
And it's almost like the DM manipulated.
It's weird. It's like fate brought us together.
Listen, I want you to know time passed while Brad was playing, and I won't let it stand that you didn't properly give me a minute-by-minute play-by-play, so I knew exactly how much time I had to utilize, but that's fine. We won't.
Yeah, well, you used it all on playing ball with a little girl, so, you know.
You know what?
And you took a you took a you day. Or you 45 minutes.
Arguably, betwixt the two of us, the friends we made, I think I had a better time. I'm more interested in Trevor's friend from an outside perspective, but I enjoyed my interaction with my friend more.
Okay, so yeah, there's you've got about an hour to kill before you're expected at the Tin Leaf Manor.
Trevor, I made a new friend.
Oh, wonderful.
Her name is Cassie, and she's quite nice. And
did she come here to sign up to kill the monsters also?
Yep.
Oh, no, most certainly not. She's a small child. We played ball together. She was not afraid of me.
Oh, wonderful.
Her mother taught her not to be racist.
Sounds like a wonderful woman.
I wouldn't know. I didn't mean... I heard her shout from that... She sounded parenty. Not that I know what that sounds like. Just kidding.
Trevor wouldn't
know. Not really.
Ba-bang! At
that point, also, I would be like, right. Also... Something not so good happened before I met Cassie. Actually, the bad thing is what made me meet Cassie. I found this, and I'm just going to lift the basket.
A basket?
Oh, yes, but it's what's in the basket that was... Worrying, I suppose.
Oh.
And then I'm going to ruffle through and I'm going to find the booties in the note.
So very.
You see the booties, you see the note.
Very strange.
Looks like scribble.
Strange looking booties you have there.
Ow!
Oh! Oh! Not strange. I knew that. Well, did you lose them at one time and someone gave them back?
I've not found the proper time to tell you this, but I was left. Now is not the time to be explaining things, but I was left at the sanctuary. I was not born and raised there or anything. I was left there as an orphan of sorts, and I've never met my parents, but this note, which obviously Trevor can't read it, this says sorry. And it's written in my tongue. And it has boots that look like they were made from my feet when I was... I don't know anyone from then, other than the pirates and the brothers at the sanctuary. I can promise you that none of those people would have made me booties.
You
shut your mouth.
Did the sanctuary treat you well?
I mean, for the most part, they were a little standoffish in the beginning because of my, appearance and the reputation that those of my kind have here, but the head monk there, he was very wise in his years and made everyone know that I was being raised by them, so the only thing I would know is what they were able to teach me. And I'll be honest, I maybe didn't pay as much attention as I could and should have because I was wanting to go off and do something more, which is why I came to Iron's Edge to be an adventurer. But I felt at home there, more or less. I don't...
Then they are your family.
I don't disagree, but I have questions. How did I come to be a trade with pirates? I have blood parents that I'm very confused, and I would like not to have a panic attack because Cassie had to go home.
Okay, so some more time has passed here. If you're wanting to get to the barracks to talk to Jorik before having to get to your luncheon, then now is that time.
Honestly, that would be a good segue for Harkos to try and get out of this uncomfortable conversation. Be like, you know, I was going to talk to Jorik while you were in the smelly room, and I got so distracted with the cats. We should go talk to Jorik together about the battle last night and about the Insigar, who's not a bad guy. We've been assured that he's definitely not a bad person by the big voice in the sky.
Oh my god.
Yes. Let us go speak with Jorik then.
Okay.
Alright. That's your traveling noises. So you start making your way back over towards the barracks. As soon as you get out there, you see you see more people. There's a cricket down here.
Oh.
And it keeps chirping at me.
100% there's a cricket down there. That's one of the things that I heard throughout some of the editing. Ken decided to add his own fucking crickets to the exciting parts because apparently we're boring.
Anyway, so you get to the barracks and you find Nigel is outside kind of running some drills with, it looks like there's a fresh batch of recruits that are doing the same kind of thing that you were, on your first day. So there's some sparring matches going on.
Badasses?
He's running drills with them. Like the new people?
Yeah. You said they were doing what we were doing on our first day. We're being badasses.
Were you?
I mean,
He didn't act.
I don't know about Trevor,
Trevor
but I kind of
act like a badass, but he was being a badass.
I knocked the fuck out of Phil, and Phil stood toe-to-toe with some trapezoids just last night. So, I mean, if I beat the guy who beat the trapezoids, that kind of makes me better than the... Yeah, I was kind of a badass. Whether I wanted to be or not, it kind of happened. Badassery was thrust upon me.
The ones that are in the yard right now look like a lot of more of the same as what you're used to. You know, that they're... That one takes a swing at the other. Ow, that hurt. Take this. It's a lot of that kind of nonsense. Do you guys head in, or are you gonna? And that's what you sounded like. But what did I do? Are you guys gonna head in, or are you gonna poke fun, or are you gonna jump in and do your own stuff? What do you want to do?
I think we were just going to go find Jorik, yeah?
Yeah, I think we'd just head in.
Okay. You head in. The hall has been... it looks like the stage is being torn down after intro. Jorik is out in the middle working with some of the recruits. The more experienced ones. The new ones are out in the yard doing their drills, and then he's got some of the ones that... Yeah, the couple of them have some, you know, nicer pieces and whatnot. Looks like they've actually, like maybe some folks who actually helped out last night. He's, kind of running over, you know, what happened with them too.
Who is this? You said
Jorik.
Oh, it's Jorik. Okay. I would just walk over to him. I mean, I've not been around long enough to know if I shouldn't or should, so I would just approach.
So you walk up, he's talking to one of the crews. Well, you see, what you did wrong was that instead of zigging, you zagged, and that's why you took a spear to the shoulder. Yeah, so maybe that'll teach you for next... Oh, hi! Hey, Harkos! Hi, Trevor!
Hello!
So I hear... that there are commendations to be given to you, at least payment at the very least. You did a, it sounds like you did a, just a fantabulous job out there.
We did what we could. The city was in need, and we were here to suffice that need.
Well, you did a fantastic job. Looking at the reports that have come in, looks like we still owe Trevor for one trapezoid, and we owe Harkos for two trapezoids, and then a big trapezoid for Trevor as well. So it'll be 20 gold for Harkos.
He pulls out a little bag and he hands it over to you.
One small trapezoid plus shaman trapezoid, that actually comes out to 30.
And he hands over a slightly bigger bag over to you, Trevor.
So, especially because Trevor's getting a larger bag and Harkos is still, like, reeling and now realizing... Nick has ideas for how he wants to spend his money, and I'm not going to disclose that because it's not information for the DM to have just yet. yeah, that's right. So Harkos is actually going to... I don't mean to nitpick, but I dealt with three trapezoids. I got the one that sabotaged the bell, and then I came over to Trevor, and I... dive bombed another, and then he tried to actually let the last one run away, but dead men tell no tales, and Harkos knows this, so I have vanquished him also.
Did you just refer to yourself in the third person?
I kind of got excited, I apologize.
Well, Jorik does it sometimes too. I didn't know that you had to take out another one at the bell tower. I got no reports of that one. So, it looks like 30 gold for you as well.
And he goes over to like a little safe that's in this room, and stands in front of the dial, and you hear it move, and he pops it open. He takes out a little, it's like rolls of quarters. he takes out another roll of quarters, and he breaks it open and hands the coins over to you.
I appreciate it. I don't mean to be a grubber like this.
You
I
know just, what?
I have...
Because you... I'm sorry, I keep on talking
it's
over
it's
you.
It's okay.
Kind of a dick
I don't fully know what I want to say. I'm very nervous.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, you secured the bell, so why don't we give you a little bit extra there, big fella?
He takes out another roll and he breaks it in half and he gives you another five.
Nick gives a smug look to Brad. Harkos doesn't do anything, but Nick gives a smug look to Brad.
Actually, have you seen Phil? Because I owe him some gold too.
Oh yes, he was very instrumental last night. It was quite something.
Well, next time that you see him, why don't you go ahead and tell him old Jorik's looking for him so that he can, dole out some payment.
Most certainly we can. Also, I have a question. Is, I brain farted. Hang on. I'm gonna get back to it. It's coming. Aha! We met a man last night by the name of Ansagar. Do you know who that is?
Yes. Ansagar is actually somebody who came all the way from Aetherport. If you don't know what Aetherport is,
which you guys would,
it's the capital
it is,
of Riven.
It is. It's the main capital hub of Riven. Not only is it the capital, but it's also kind of the seat of power for the government, and the main hub for the rails, the railways that go across the ley lines and everything. So, Aetherport's a pretty big deal, between central government and, you know, kind of it's just peacekeeping between all of the different subcontinents and everything. If anything happens between two different subcontinents, it happens at Aetherport.
And Cigars from there?
Yes.
Totally. Ooh. A fucking bad guy.
He actually came, he answered the call from Elian that he was one of the warriors of Torm. I don't know if you know who Torm is, but he's like, you know, a big, fancy, good deity. That he came to help out Iron's Edge, and it's a time of deepest peril.
Ah, he sounds quite noble and not at all bad.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, that's kind of a weird thing to say, but, yeah. I've met him a couple of times. He helped, especially early on, he helped with, getting some of the new recruits trained in sword play, and none of them can, you know, channel the kind of power that he does, but you know, he tried with some of the folks that he thought might have the aptitude, but unfortunately only he can make the big bright flashy thing and make the trapezoids run away.
Oh yes, if only he would have showed up slightly earlier, maybe. Could have avoided some deaths of the gods.
Well, from what I heard, the only reason that he even knew to come out was because of Harkos ringing the bell. So, you know, if all else failed, then, you know, we might have been in a lot more trouble.
So what you're trying to push onto me as a player, that it's my fault that the big bad came waltzing into the middle of the town.
I am doing no such thing.
No, that was...
You calm your shit.
That was directed at your fucking puppeteer. Know your place.
Yeah, and I'm saying it in character, so fuck off.
Strangest conversation ever.
Between the DM, the character, and the player.
Harkos just grows his human head from the reroll app and is like, ugh! I don't appreciate what you're saying.
I don't know, I pictured it more as like Harkos just stopped talking and... Jorik kept going.
Jorik just cranes to the sky and he's like, well, you know something, I think you're being a dick. Who are you talking to?
But honestly, the whole thing was actually kind of a failure on our part because we didn't have any guard stationed right in the tower. So we've learned a valuable lesson last night, and unfortunately there were some lives lost. It looks like there was 12 total that lost their lives during the attack.
I'm very sorry for your losses.
I only wish we could have done more.
Well, I'm sorry for the people of Iron's Edge that have lost friends and family, but the whole point of having all of us here and having all of us fighting is to limit those losses and make sure that families across this subcontinent don't have more of the same happen to them. So, you, the two of you, plus, you know, a little bit, Phil, Iron's Edge owes you a massive debt, and your prevention of the attack last night to a greater extent, and making sure that the bells rang out, and you were there to defend us.
It is what we were asked to do, so I'm more than happy to do it. Just hopefully not every night, please.
Well, unfortunately, that's not up to me, but hopefully Ansigar was able to scare him off for a little while. A loss of a shaman for them should be a pretty big deal, too. So hopefully we'll have a few days of peace.
Well, as much as I'm going to regret saying this, maybe we should take the fight to them.
Oh
dear.
That's a terrifying proposition. We haven't sent anybody into the mine since the attack started.
Well, the shaman spoke of sacrifices, and I don't think we want to do any of that.
Did you say the mine? The kobolds are coming out of the mine, not just from the mountain, but specifically out of the mines?
Well, we had delved pretty deep into the mountain.
We dug too deep.
We've We unleashed a beast of shadow and flame. We need an old gray wizard.
Nah, us two level one people, we're going to go fuck up your Balrog. Don't worry, no one's going to pass.
Did you see the thing about...
Who shall not pass?
Did you see the thing about him being a fighter, not a wizard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Well, I thought... Yeah, he's just pretending. People charge at him, he just kicks ass.
I mean, it's valid. It's a valid argument.
Yeah. He's a muscle wizard, you know. That's an option too.
He could also just be a bard with a really high fucking strength stat too, because he just convinces people. He's like, oh yeah, I'm totally a wizard. Like, you can believe every story I tell you, but I do so many of the magic. Like, I can even fly. I hopped on these eagles because I didn't want to use all my magic. Like, what if we need it later? It's also valid.
I do like the idea that Gandalf takes off his robe and he's just fucking ripped.
I'm kind of uncomfortable. I mean, not that I don't want to see Ian McKellen without his robes on, but... Listen, Ian McKellen and Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Patrick Stewart are on my man list, so that's okay. They're gorgeous elderly men.
We're gonna get fucking sued.
Nah. Oh, yeah, but the terms of the suing are gonna be like, listen, you send us that Nick boy, and we'll drop everything, and I'll be like, you know what, send me. Don't even put holes in the box. I can hold my breath.
Patrick Stewart was Professor X. He already knew Nick was going to say that. It's fine.
This is true.
Oh, Jesus.
All of the lines being crossed.
I am concerned for my future.
Don't worry, Patrick Stewart knows that it'll be fine.
Okay. Maybe he's the big
man. You shut your mouth.
Fuck, I don't even... Where were we?
Jorg was talking about how he unlocked the Balrog. That's where we were.
Oh.
Well, so we did dive pretty deep into the mountain, and if you want the full story, I would recommend that you go and talk to the foreman. She's got a name, and I'm trying to recall it right now. But
let me just flip.
It might take
let
me
a just
second
flip through my notebook here real fast.
Let me just flip through my notebook because my memory ain't what it once was.
This is just gonna be the episode of we can't remember jack shit.
No, here's the best part. He didn't do the typical Ken and we're gonna cut this part out while I look for things. He did it in character, so guess what that means I get to do? Leave it in.
So the mine, the foreman of the mine, or the foreperson of the mine, if you want to be PC, her name is Gwaris. Did you meet Faden by chance?
Yes, he lives in the stinky house.
that's
a wonderful smell. You get used to it, I promise.
Trevor's broken. We don't listen to him anymore.
Well, if you met Faden, then, Gwaris is actually his twin sister.
Like, wait a minute.
Is she missing pieces as well?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to ask.
Is she just as lucky?
why don't you just go ahead and see for yourself? But if you wanted to find out more about how that all happened, she was, unfortunately, she was one of the first, the first to see the monsters come through.
Okay, we will, and her name was what?
It was Gwaris.
Right. Trevor, remember that.
That was really just a Nick talking to Brad, saying, remember that.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And that was a Brad seeping through into Trevor. Oh, man. I'm going to forget her name by the time we get across the...
I fucking got it. Don't I'm not a good name
of a bit. A little whitey baby. I can't write anything down. But
all I can tell you is that they've definitely been using our tunnels to get around and obviously they use the mine entrance to get into the town.
So if we go through the mine, then perhaps we can stop them before the town.
You saw the veritable tidal wave of kobolds that were coming through, so there's not many that would want to stand against that.
Oh, I'm not saying that I wish to stand against it, but it may be needed.
If the mines are the problem, we will stem the tide that flows from them. If not for Iron's Edge, for Connie's dad. Fuck off!
Oh, you...
Fuck you!
Did you mean Cassie?
What? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm too busy writing the notes that I asked Brad to write down. I started thinking about Steven Universe characters. Oh.
And that's why I giggled, because I actually remembered her name.
Well, this is not a euphemism. The lead in my pencil would not stay out. And apparently it was too short to be held by the pencil, so I couldn't write Guerus's name down. However, I got so frustrated that I didn't even need to write her fucking name down anymore, because I'm angrily remembering it, because Brad refused to. So, Cassie and her father, fucking dickwad.
How do you know her father was a dickwad?
No, I'm... Oh, okay. I'm splitting the party.
I'm doing. You're just gonna start. We're just gonna start,
you know,
a different
what?
Adventuring party with Harkos and Cassie.
I'm teaming up with Marcus.
Oh shit!
I can't stick with that. I tried to, and I shivered. I shivered the moment I thought about how often Ken was gonna have to say "skitter" in my little separate.
I wondered how long that was gonna last.
Fuck off! Fuck you!
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Whew. I hope they cancel the color green. Yeah, that's right.
You know what?
This conversation is gone, please.
I'm going to find who left your damn Alacocra booties. Yeah, I'm going to find them.
You better watch what the fuck you say next.
I'm going to find them. And you know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to hide them so you can never find them.
It's about to get very Captain America Civil War up in this piece.
Wow.
We will be the tide. We will stop the tide for Cassie! I'm casually walking the fuck. I'm done with this conversation. It's broken. It's broken too many times. I'm gonna go find four-person Guerus. And I'm gonna leave fucking Trevor in the dust, because I don't even need his sorry ass. Christ.
Oh, wow.
If you need to find Guerus, the foreman's office is up towards the mouth of the cave. That's the entrance to the mine. She should be there. That's where she... It's her office. That's kind of her house, too.
Just for giggles and shits, I'm going to say Harkos was going the complete wrong direction, and so he just turns and goes, "Right, of course!" And then goes to the four-person's office.
And I follow him.
And then I...
At a respectable distance?
I kill Trevor, so he can't follow me anymore, and I continue on solo. Brad, roll a new character, and keep him the fuck away from me.
Man, episode 5, and we had our first derail episode already. Oh, this is amazing.
Shocker. You'd never think it. With us three together, derail, fuck that.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised we made it this far.
You should hear the uncut version of Night Zero. Fucking hell. The uncut version of anything, really.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, so you make your way over to the four person's office. Door and windows are open. You can see that as you're walking up. It really is precariously close to the mouth of the cave.
She never knew that the kobolds were coming. Like, why doesn't she have a bell?
People gotta sleep, man. Like, lay off. I was sleeping until you came and told me, is your room on fire? The fuck, no, it's not. Are you crazy? I'm just sad at home.
And Jorik even said that was an oopsie on their part, that they didn't have people stationed in the right places, and that they learned lessons from the attack.
There you go.
So, yeah. That Jorik levels up eventually, too, so... okay, so you make your way up to the Gwaris's office / home. Doors and windows are open. You can see her at a desk that she's writing some stuff up. She is not like her brother. You can see that right away, that she does not have any missing appendages or anything like that. Looks like the Luckbeard surname has treated her far better than
her
brother.
Does she have a beard?
No, she does not.
Are there signs that she shaves it every morning?
Make a perception.
Can we both make... Yeah, I'm doing it too.
If you want to.
I might need my stats for this, maybe, I'm assuming.
16.
Okay.
Ooh. 15.
Right.
You don't even need to look. You can see on her desk there is a Gillette Mach 5 razor right there. And she sees you walk in and she brushes it into a drawer and closes it really quick.
I'm saying nothing and I saw nothing. But I am going to, as we come in...
Is the Mach 5 still a thing? I just said that because it was the first thing that popped into my mind.
I don't even know. I don't look at the names. I just go to a place and it's like, this cuts your hair. I don't even do that anymore.
She has a Dollar Shave Club box on top of her desk.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Like, people are going to be like, you dropped our names.
Not yet. Am I right, Dollar Shave Club? Not if you're doing it for free.
We're open.
My face is so hairy right now. God, if only I had a cheap way to shave it and put on aftershave. You mean like Dollar Shave Club? Anyway, oh man, there's like,
and I couldn't tell you about razors because I don't shave this thing, even though the DNA doesn't work very well.
Anywho's it, walking up to her door, I'm gonna politely, because it's the nice thing to do, like knock, even though it's open. Just, hello, is. Sorry, I burped. Is this the office of Gwaris?
I almost burped too. Apparently it's contagious. I had to choke it back down. Oh, there's a little one. Nope, there's the rest. So she looks up at you after pushing the Dollar Shave Club box down into her desk. she goes, hi, I'm Gwaris, and you are?
I'm Harkos Pissarro, and this is my douchebag companion, Trevor, I don't say that, this is my friend Trevor Ironjaw.
And Harkos's heart grew three sizes that day.
And then shrank seven.
Harkos and Trevor, it's very good to meet you. I wasn't really expecting company. I have a lot of things that I'm trying to handle because of the attack last night, so...
Why we're here. My friend here had a horrible idea that we should take the fight to them, and then I found out news that apparently the monsters are coming from the mine. I just assumed with the big looming mountain that maybe they resided there and descended on occasion, but are they're Jorik said they're coming from the mine?
There's that fucking cricket again.
I'm sorry, Ken, am I boring you?
You're boring the cricket. I've got headphones on, it can't hear. Otherwise, it would be wonderfully entertained. Am I not right, listeners?
Please read us.
God, this has been a derail episode.
I'm just thinking about a cricket with tiny little headphones on. I would fucking... Oh, God. I want it. I want it so bad. I want cricket headphones. And I want them to be called grasshoppers just to piss off the cricket population. Crickets wearing grasshoppers. Oh, God.
Okay. Focus.
I think focus is gone.
Nah.
I don't think we got it. I think this is just that episode.
I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me. I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me.
And it's going to be our royalties episode where we have to pay whatever money we make.
Where we lose everything.
I was drinking. I don't think I ever will again, though, with the pain that's in the center of my chest. Jesus. Oh, God. Harkus is down. Trevor, take over.
Oh,
I hate you. I hate you twice as much.
The mine,
the monsters came from the mine?
Yes, there's never been any reports of them being on the mountain. They're typically, they kind of almost tunnel themselves out from other sections and pop into, at least that's how it all started, that we were just working and we had found a pretty rich vein, and so we were kind of focused in one area, and then we heard taps. Not like the trumpet thing.
Oh, okay.
But taps.
That's what I thought you meant.
And we listened and we wondered if we were getting too close to another section, and as I was going to check my paperwork, all of a sudden the monsters just burst through the end of our tunnel, and it was a nightmare.
I can imagine. I would, as much as I do agree with my friend that it's a terrible, horrible idea that will most likely wind up with us possibly dying, I would like to try to stem this problem at the source. For Connie's... Oh. Fucking Christ! Cassie's dead! Jesus! I was in my head too much. I half ignored Goris' speech, telling myself it's Cassie. Because my brain kept telling me it was Connie, because Brad can't take notes. And then I literally, as I started speaking, started thinking about Steven Universe again and said Connie. So now I'm going to tattoo in my arm with blood magic the word Cassie. And I'm going to curse the name Connie. Sorry if anyone's named Connie, but you're now my least favorite.
Ouch.
Wow.
Sorry. Get your fucking name out of my head, and maybe we'll talk. I would like to go down there for Cassie's dad.
Well, I'm afraid if anyone was left in the tunnels, that I can't imagine that they've survived.
I don't mean to retrieve him. I mean to honor him and his family.
Oh, you were meaning in a, like, heroic sense that you were...
Yes, I'm not going down there for him. I'm going down there for him.
Well, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Well, if
Cassie's my friend,
that no, I know Cassie. Her father, Glenn, was he was a great miner. He
sounds like a well thought up name and not just on the spot.
Well, you know.
Oh God.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. She's my best friend, and I know I'm gonna.
They can't remember her name.
I'm gonna take. You know what? It's because my ex best friend is hanging a little too fucking close all the time.
Episode five. Okay. Marcos and Trevor fight the derailment boss.
Episode five. Everything goes to shit.
She'll tell you, if you were wanting to actually like lead a charge against the kobolds into the mine, that's something that would take a huge feat of strategy and planning and force of arms, and I don't know what kind of force that has been built up within town. I don't know if that would be possible. I would imagine that you would want to talk to Ansagar about it. He's been
kind of taking
the lead.
I do not believe we need any large force, because he does the glowy light thing and the kobolds, they run away. If everything's running, it should be that much easier to get rid of.
She looks, you can see in her eyes that there's a fear there.
Because he's the bad guy.
You don't understand. The kobolds, when they're outside of the mountain, they're weak. They can be killed easily. They're just kobolds, but there's something about the mountain. There's something in there that gives them a strength that I
seems like maybe we should try to find this strength of the mountain.
Well, I don't even know where to begin on something like that. I've been through every inch of tunnel that we've ever dug, and all we ever found was iron.
But you did say that they tunneled into your tunnels. You heard tapping, so clearly they're coming from somewhere else, maybe in an antechamber of sorts that you've not yet discovered.
Well, I dare not venture in. She points over to a pickaxe that is leaned up against the wall. Old Betsy over there and I, we took out a fair number of those kobolds before we had to run away when the initial attack hit. But I fear going into those tunnels to chase after them. That seems like a suicide mission. I am not the person to make this decision, though. I do, again, I recommend that you talk to Ansagar.
Well, conveniently enough, we have a brunch date with him and the mayor, so maybe we will do just that.
Not to be.
So you actually hear the toll of a bell right about as you're saying that the clock has struck.
We're late for a very important date.
I fixed that bell last night.
Oh, you were the one that fixed the bell.
Was not easy. I might have knocked the hammer farther than I needed to.
Well, it best be off then to go and talk to whoever, the Ansigar, and whatever you're planning on doing there. I do not like the idea of going back into those tunnels.
Yes, no one really likes the idea of making a deal with the devil, but that's the way the game seems to be headed, so I suppose that's what we should do.
We will speak with Ansigar on our brunch date.
Yes.
Okay. You guys leave Guerus's house / office and make your way back down the path and back into the Iron's Edge main part. And you see the Tin Leaf residence sitting towards the back of town, and you start approaching, and then all of a sudden there's a rumble, and there's an earthquake.
Balrog.
It's not a severe one, but it's enough to shake you a little bit. And that is where we will call it. We do this every time. I don't know why you're ever surprised.
I'm real sick of your shit, kid. You know, I'm...
No, kid.
for fuck's sake. God damn it.
All right. Well, here we are in episode 5.
And we don't want to talk to you anymore. That's what we're down to.
So we're just gonna cut it here.
That's the end. This is like the third time we've ended the podcast already, but that's the end. We're done. It's nice knowing everybody. Thanks for talking to us, listening to us. share around. Hopefully our 4¾ episodes will be great.
We're really gonna coast off the wings of this nothing.
So here we are in episode 5, and you know, we're already kind of getting into some stuff, and you know, we thank everybody who has been listening and supporting us along the way here. And again, we thank you so much for joining us at our table, for pulling up the old comfy chair or comfy car seat or however you're listening. And Brad, how can these wonderful, fine folks with ears full of headphones,
I mean, how
can
do
they
know
contact us?
Maybe they're listening on a Bluetooth speaker. Maybe they're listening in their car. Hey. Why you gotta single out the people with headphones on?
Hey. With people with ears full of headphones, or aux cables that are on fire, how can these folks contact us, you piece of shit?
Kill him! Kill him! Kid, it's working! Keep going! He's gonna die! Fucking do it!
Do it! Do it!
Do it!
Oh. Whew.
Do it, young brown walker.
As usual, you can find us on Twitter at Roll in the Geek. That's RollinTheGeek. Any questions, comments, or just want to talk to three guys who have faces made for podcasting, just hashtag us at hashtag RitGeek. That's hashtag RITGeek.
Fucking perfect every time.
Yeah. Got it in one. Nick, you are...
I am what? Come on, fucking say it. Just fucking say it. Go ahead.
Oh, you are, man.
You are the sound abjurer.
Right.
You shield us from poor sound quality
every week,
and and break the bad enchantments that have been put upon us by horrid sound effects. Can you please give us something fun to go out on?
Yeah, and just because Ken got to single out people, I also would like to try and one-up that and also single out people. So I know he already thanked some guys and he said the whole headphone thing, but you know what? This one's for you. Thank you, random citizen. So this is going to be a big hooty-hoo from Harkos, and it's not a stick, it's a spear. As we go into episode 6, stick and six are close enough. Rhymes are hard sometimes. Eventually it's going to get old and everyone's going to yell at me. I'm going to have to switch it up to something else and I won't do it. So just deal with that. And then, as if we didn't need any more royalties, we won't say the name from which this derivative comes from, because we don't need that on our conscience. But you go ahead and tell me what you think this sounds like. Look at these dice, aren't they so neat? Wouldn't you think our collection's complete? Wouldn't you think we're the guys who have all the dice? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many dice can one dice bag hold? Looking around here, you'd think, sure, they've got all the sets. We've got polys and metals and specials. We've got glowy ones, themed ones, and more. Dire D20s? We've got 20, but who cares? No big deal. We need more. I want to buy every single set of dice.
Yes.
I want to own so many. Oh, buying a set of those. What are they called? Oh, gothic.
This song
spending my paychecks gets me in trouble. Wives and girlfriends don't want to be broke. Spending money anyway and get, should we say it? Beat. Buy a new set. Oh, and one more. Gonna fund a whole new dice store. Wish they were free.
Oh,
my wife beats me for buying new dice. Completely original, that one.
Woo.
Oh my god.
Encore.
That's standing ovation worthy.
Oh man. I would hug you if you weren't in another town. That was awesome.
Oh, skittily dee. Oh, just wait till my mates see this. I can't believe I found me rolling the Geek Podcast. I'm a happy pirate, I am. Oh, Hobie, you've done it again. Just wait till Massey's hears about this one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.